Fan Hotline's presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Let's talk to NFL on CBS insider, reporter, sideline reporter, Aditi King-Kabwala. She's brought to you by Sir Grout Pittsburgh, your local grout cleaning expert, and Tap Brick Oven and Poorhouse in Greensburg. Aditi, did you see this John Harbaugh thing coming?
I didn't. And you know what's so funny? I was talking to one of his longtime players yesterday, and he was like, yeah, I'm not totally surprised because there was a lot of noise about it. And I was like, yeah, well, there's a lot of noise about a lot of things, and that doesn't necessarily mean that it's true. But this is a decision that was made by ownership and ownership alone. So when, you know, when I'm thinking about a move being made, I'm thinking about the GM. I'm thinking about all sorts of factors that go into something like that, but that's not how this was decided. Mm. So that's that. I'm stunned. But clearly, he's the hottest candidate on the market right now. He will have a job. He will probably have his choice of jobs. He may be in a position where he gets to handpick his general manager as well. So he's going to be okay. I think what's interesting for the Steelers is that there are certainly some candidates that in my interactions with them, I would feel very, very strongly about as being a good successor, having being set up to succeed. And there are some names I've seen that I've just really sort of thought, not so sure that's a great idea right there.
Aditi, for Steelers fans, who would be the name that you would say if this person took over the Ravens, it would be very bad because they would make the Ravens very good? And who's somebody that you think would be somebody that would struggle maybe to have the kind of success Harbaugh did?
Okay, I'm not going to answer the latter question because if that person gets the job, I'll be dealing with that person.
Fair enough.
Next year.
I wanted to hear the first part more than the second part because I had a feeling what you were going to say.
I'm a huge fan of Jesse Minter's. Jesse Minter, of course, is the Chargers defensive coordinator. In a lot of ways, when you look at Jesse Minter, you can kind of see Mike McDonald redux. And what I mean by that is just like Mike McDonald, he's coached for both Jim and John, coached with both of them. He's coached at Michigan. He's coached in Baltimore. He obviously is tremendous in LA. I can tell you Derwin James and Khalil Mack, who are two of my most favorite superstars ever because of who they are, the way they play, love him unabashedly, feel so strongly about the teacher he is, how detailed he is, how flexible he is willing to be, how innovative he is. And Jesse's young. I don't even know if he's 40. He's a second generation coach, but he's got an ability to not only lead a room and have authority, but also relate to a younger generation of player, which also, by the way, has been a major conversation point with a lot of coaches and players over the last 24 hours for me, because clearly John Harbaugh is old school. He is old school in the Sean Payton way, and not every player is game for that or up for that. Another name that I love, I don't see him going there, but I'm still really, really bullish on Brian Flores, and I believe it, I buy it, when Brian Flores has told us, our crew, told me repeatedly over the last few years how different he is, how much he's learned, how humbled he's been, how much better he thinks he can lead. We already know that he's as detailed of a teacher as there are out there. We know how brilliant of a defensive mind he is. That's never been in question. But even just last week in talking to Harrison Smith and Andrew Van Ginkle was drafted by him in Miami. And he said he is so much better at relating to people and players and making an effort. And so I think he's definitely set up to succeed. I don't know that he's necessarily the best, the most likely candidate there. I don't know what the odds are. You guys would know better than I am right now, but I think both of those could cause a lot of fits for the Steelers, both of those men.
Aditi, we had Florio on before you, and okay. Mike said minutes before the game Sunday night that there was a scenario in which Mike wouldn't be back as head coach in 2026, and he brought up the TV thing. So I asked him to follow up on that when he was on with us, and I'm going to play for you what he said.
But okay. I believe Mike Tomlin's got an opportunity in TV in his back pocket, and he's got to decide when the season's over whether or not he's going to take advantage of it. That's what I believe, based upon everything I've seen, heard, etc. I think he's got something, and it's just up to him at the right time, walking away from the Steelers and walking through that.
Aditi, you've come on with us several times and said you don't see Tomlin in TV. Do you still feel that way?
No. I'm sorry. In fact, I know that he has had, that there have been conversations involving him with very, very high-level TV executives. I'm not saying that that was ever anything exploratory on his end. There is a ton of interest in him for sure in television. But did you see him on the Rich Eisen show today?
Yes, we've talked about some
and
of those comments.
Did you see he completely poo-pooed that and said that the adrenaline of the competition still really fuels him? And let me tell you, that's not, look at Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan really enjoyed calling games, and he enjoyed a year at the NFL today, but he needs that sense of team back. And so he's likely leaving as one of my teammates at CBS and going to be the president of the Atlanta Falcons. And I don't see any of Mike Tomlin's competitiveness or desire or juice for that Sunday, or be it Monday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday at this point. I don't see any of that ebbing at this point.
Aditi, how many times did you see the Texans this year?
I only had them once this year. And in fact, they were pretty close to bottom at that point. I texted Tony that earlier. I had them week three against the Jaguars. It was a game that set offensive football back about 100 years. It was terrible. But, you know, at that time, it was a new offensive coordinator, still sort of finding his footing. He'd never been a play caller. It was D'Amico Ryans being involved with the offense for the first time. C.J. Stroud was figuring out having to have his head coach involved with the offense. In fact, I remember C.J. saying he'd never played for a defensive-minded head coach. They were still kind of figuring some things out, but this is what the arc of a season is. I mean, a month ago, we were writing the Steelers off, and here they are, the division champs. However you think they came by it, they are indeed the division champ. So that defense, Chris, you know, I said this to my husband. He didn't really want to listen to me, but that defense will get pressure on Aaron Rodgers. The Steelers line has been playing really well, and I don't know that that's been as big of a story as it should be. But despite that, I fully expect the Texans to be able to get pressure on Rodgers that the Ravens absolutely couldn't. Will Anderson, I'll tell you this, Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter are both first-team All-Pros on my ballot. I put both of their names in there.
Do you have a ballot?
I do have a ballot.
Are you at liberty to tell us any more picks? I'm curious if Cam Hayward's name popped up on that ballot.
I mean, I'm at liberty. I could. I don't actually have my ballot in front of me. He is not one of my two first-team defensive tackles. But I do have to honestly. Chris Jones was not first-team. No.
No.
I guess I'm going reputationally. Now I'd have to really think about this one.
And that's not it. And, you know, it's funny. It's like when you do those votes, I got a lot of heat for this last year, too, but I talk to a lot of people. So, of course, I look at stats. Of course, I consider who are you playing with or alongside, or what did your offense do? You know, like as tremendous of a year as Myles Garrett had in my mind, I think he gets bonus points for the fact that his offense was so putrid. I mean, that defense was on the field constantly, and to constantly bring it when you are losing and your offense can never bail you out and can never put together a long drive. That's a for example. So, and then it's not only about production. You know, last year, Trey Hendrickson had a ton of numbers, but by the same token, you don't feel Trey Hendrickson on the field the way you did other pass rushers last year, the way that you felt Garrett or even TJ Watt or Nick Benito. And so I had that conversation this year with a lot of coaches about Justin Jefferson. Not that he can be a first-team All-Pro, considering the production, but if you watch Vikings tape, he is constantly winning. He is constantly open. There were four plays in that Christmas Day game that should have gone for touchdowns, where Max Brosmer couldn't even get him the ball. So then you sit here and you say, well, look, if I'm starting a team right now, my wide receiver one is either Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase. So what's the All-Pro award? Is it only on production, or is it who is really
When is that going to get announced? When is that going to come out, the results of that?
The annual awards won't come out until NFL honors.
Yeah, but the All-Pro teams, do we know?
Yeah, can we discuss this? Like, Mosey, you have two kids. My son, from the minute he was a year old, like, knew not to interrupt me when I was working. And my daughter, who is the second one, like, she just thinks she's the most important thing in the world.
Ace is the younger one, and he just yells at me, like, open, like, when he, like, in terms of what you're talking about, interrupting.
Very clearly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Ace just yells at both of us.
Having a conversation, and she's like, can I have more carrots? Can you wait 30 seconds to
Ace won't even do that. He'll go, Dad, apple! By the way, Aditi, this is a very quick hit question. Obviously, you don't have an MVP vote, correct?
Of course I do. Yeah.
You do? Oh, crap. Then I can't really ask this because the way you described like the Jefferson and Chase stuff, I'm sorry. I don't mean to plead ignorance there that you would have had or not had one. But I think the May Stafford debate is a fascinating one when you talk about MVP for that reason. So,
and this is another one where, and again, this is not, I think the best at anything, whether you're the best scientist or the best reporter, you're trying to do as much research as possible. And research involves as many sources as you can get to. And so I've certainly, at the end of the day, no one's going to convince me of a vote, but I'm going to poll people. I'm going to have conversations with people. And I was on the field in Minnesota on Sunday having this conversation with several. I was in a group of three offensive coaches, one who had in fact coached Stafford, talking about the May versus Stafford comparison. And, you know, Stafford plays in a tougher division. Sure, but the two of them have six common opponents. And against those six common opponents, Drake is 6-0 and Stafford is 4-2. Drake actually won his division. Stafford didn't. Stafford has the best supporting cast in football, according to like Pro Football Focus. What was May playing with? And it's funny because these Vikings coaches that I was talking to were adamant that it has to be Stafford. And they said, what you're telling me is more a lifetime achievement award than
in season.
This year alone, this was the most valuable player in the National Football League. And I talked to a coach in the AFC East, not a Patriots coach, but another AFC East coach. And he was like, it's got to be May. And he said, hands down, what he has done to elevate that team, to elevate the guys around him, to get that team playing the way that they have. And I go back to, I had the Patriots week one, and I remember talking to someone in the front office who was like, okay, culturally, sure, we're different, but we still don't have players.
God, that's when they lost to the Raiders.
I mean, I think this blows them away.
Oh, my God. They lost to the Raiders at home in the rain.
You have such a good memory. Yep. That was week one. And it was like, okay, they've got work to do.
Aditi, sorry to belabor this, but do we know how many coaches, like how many coaches do you vote for Coach of the Year? Is it two? Is it three?
Five.
Is it five? Do you expect Tomlin to get Coach of the Year votes?
My understanding is that there are 50 voters. So amongst 50, maybe, he is not in my top five. And I had six I felt really strongly about.
Pony just nodded and approvingly when you said that. He went, that's right.
Well, that's because Crowley came on the air yesterday and said he gives him an A for this season, and I just thought that was ridiculous. Yeah, they won the division, but they lost seven games. They needed a missed field goal to get in. Yeah, the Broncos win the conference. You had Liam Cohen go from 13 losses to 13 wins. You had the job that who else are we thinking of yesterday for that award?
Shanahan.
Chris? Shanahan did.
McDonald. I'll tell you that I think the job that
Vrabel?
Kyle Shanahan did, I mean, he lost his quarterback for so much of the year. He lost his two defensive players. He didn't have George Kittle. That division is an absolute beast. The way that he stayed steady and the job that he did, Vrabel completely turning over culture, that quickly. Let me cut this for you. Sorry. I think Liam Cohen, absolutely. Ben Johnson, Mike McDonald being smart enough to know that he needs to move on from his offensive coordinator. Mike McDonald pushing for Sam Darnold, the way that that defense plays, that's also tremendous. Sean Payton was on my ballot last year. He's the one that I struggled with that was not in my top five. I thought Sean Payton's job is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean,
look at the record in one score games.
He completely turned over that roster to get his guys. And you look at what he did with Russ, which is a conversation that I have a lot when we talk about the Browns or we talk about Tua Tagovailoa. Like, sometimes you just got to eat it and move forward. And Sean Payton did it.
Yeah, he sure did.
You know, Dolphin fans right now are saying, well, the cap hit, and well, this much money, and well, okay, well, that's what the Broncos were facing. That's what Sean Payton was facing, and look at where he is.
Aditi, enjoy the game Monday night. I'm not sure if you'll be there in person, but maybe you will be as a family member to a season ticket holder.
Does that not count? We have a joint bank account. Aren't those my season tickets too?
I know, but I didn't know if your journalistic integrity frowned upon me calling you a season ticket holder. That's why I tried to word it that way.
You know what? I'm actually, CBS is sending me to Chargers Patriots.
Oh, cool.
And my son and my husband will indeed be at that Monday night game. So we will see what sort of, I'm not a great fan, guys. Like, if I'm not on the field, I don't even the Chargers Patriots assignment, I'll be on the field pregame, I'll be on the field postgame, but I won't be on the field during the game because, of course, it's an NBC game. And I'm kind of like, yeah.
So you're a snob about it. I get it.
A little different when you're in the middle of the action and then you're suddenly not.
Thanks, Aditi. We'll talk next week.
All right. Sounds great.
They did a whole